Hello, Queen's Club. Everybody, come on in. I'll give you just a minute to come in and get settled, get your audio on, and then we will get started. I am so excited about what we're gonna do for you guys over the next few months, what we're gonna talk about today. So I'm gonna start first by just talking to you a little bit about, hey, everybody, hey. You can hear me. You can hear me all right, right? Let's do the sound check first. Let's do the sound check first. Everybody can hear me? Yes, awesome. Okay. Awesome. So here's what this call is all about. We have started every fourth Sunday of the month having a Queen's Club Talks on Weight Loss series. So you get me first, then we'll cycle through the coaches, and they are going to teach and coach on specific topics that those of us who have started losing our weight, 25 pounds or more, or are in maintenance, are beginning to, see crop up. Okay. So in the main membership, we're all about teaching the basics, all about teaching the mindset, Everything's great, coaching all the things. When we get into Queen's Club, sometimes after you've lost those first 25 pounds, things start to change a little bit. That's what I'm going to talk about today specifically, is how your hunger and satisfied cues in your doable hunger method, how those start to change. And how your mindset around those changes is everything. So just to give you, while everybody's coming in, just to give you an idea of what's coming up, today we're going to talk about changes that you come across in your doable hunger method as you lose weight. Next month, Coach Kim is going to talk about how as you lose weight, sometimes you have a picture in your mind of what you're going to look like. And sometimes it's not exactly what happens, right? So she's going to talk about the thought, I don't look the way I thought I would. Then the next month, we're going to talk about what happens when the comments stop, right? You've lost weight. Everybody's like, oh, look, you've lost weight. And then they get used to seeing you that way and they stop saying those things. Then after that, we're going to talk about leveling up versus the thought I'm better than I used to be and all kinds of things. So we have such cool topics waiting for you. They're all on the calendar. They will be on your brand new Queen's Club hub when it is finished up by the web team. And you're just going to get some really neat topical things specific to Queen's Club each month, in addition to Corinne doing her coaching with you each month. So that's what I know. I wanted to start by just laying all that out there and letting you know all the cool things that we have in store for you. So first, I'm going to talk for about 15 or 20 minutes about my topic, and then we will coach specifically on that topic. Okay. So this call is going to be all about changes in hunger and fullness cues. Okay. So I'm going to share my keynote. Give me just a second to get everything where I want it to be. And then you guys can let me know if you can see what I want you to see. All right. You should see me in a little box, and you should see one slide that says Queen's Club talks about weight loss, hunger, and fullness changes. Is that what everybody sees? Perfect. Look at me getting the keynote down with the Zoom. All right. So here we go. Welcome to our very first Queen's Club talk on weight loss. The coaches and I are just super excited that we get to do this with you. And we're going to talk over the next few months about issues specific to you and where you are in your journey to goal weight. So today we're going to talk about changes in feeling hungry and satisfied. And as I'm sure you've noticed, as someone who has lost 25 pounds or is in maintenance, not only do your hungry and satisfied cues change from day to day, a more cumulative change tends to happen as you make your way down the scale. So this results in one of two things happening. Number one, you either get complacent and stop listening, saying things like, I figured this out. I know how much it takes to get satisfied. I'll just serve up my normal amount. And then your weight stalls. Or you actually do notice because you pay attention, but you start to get pissed because you liked the quantity of food you were eating when you were eating, and not needing as much leaves you feeling unfulfilled in your mind, right? That's when you have those thoughts, I just want some more. Knowing that you don't really need more because you've hit satisfied, you know where that is, but your brain's like, really? Really, that's all I get? So you think things like, this sucks. I used to eat more. Maybe I'm not getting enough. And I have on the slide, cue the negotiator, because that's my urge voice. My urge voice sounds like me, okay? It's this kind of little sing-songy calm. Are you sure that's enough, Kathy? It's not, you know, the Kool-Aid man busting in. It's very subtle, almost kind of, you know, negotiating. And then you might think, but I thought I had this all figured out. And all that can lead you to just having effort moments and eating anyway. And that's why people struggle. They have a new old shitty that they don't get to eat as much as they want. That leads them to feeling deprived or restricted, which has them questioning whether or not they'll succeed. And it's potentially just giving up, right? Guess what, y'all? This is normal. Put yourself, take a minute and put yourself back in the day when you first started No BS and learned about the doable hunger method. And the first time you found out the difference between satisfied and full, you likely had thoughts like, that can't be enough. I'm not so sure about this. Because your unconscious brain already had a lock on how much food it thought you needed, right? And you were beginning to see the difference between emotional satisfaction and physical satisfaction. That's all that's happening now. You've gotten into a habit cycle about how much to eat or when to eat. And when you challenge it, your unconscious brain gets edgy and uncomfortable. Remember now, the unconscious brain is where your habits are stored. It's back here in the back, the party in the back. And it's totally doing its job, wanting to keep as much of your life on lock with the habit so it can have as much energy as it needs to keep the vital systems of your body running. So we're not bashing the unconscious brain here at all. It's doing exactly what it is programmed to do and what we want it to do. And this happens to all of us. It's the natural way our brains take care of us. And it totally makes an openness to recalibrating and reassessing our hunger and satisfied cues with an open mind and a little curiosity to pull out those habits and take a good look at whether or not we need to keep them. So here's an example of a habit that I work on all the time still, that has to do with satisfied. When I was 230 pounds, I thought every meal needed to end with dessert, just a little something sweet. It didn't matter if I was already stuffed or not. I wasn't finished eating unless I had dessert. That was my habit. That was the way I had programmed my eating over time, and my unconscious brain loved it because not only was it a clear cue that mealtime was over, it came along with a big hit of dopamine from all the sugar I ate. This habit took me a long time to unwind. In fact, the suggestions for dessert still live in my brain, especially after dinner. If I'm super conscious of my thinking, I hear them, especially when we're out. I don't keep a lot of desserts at home, so my brain is kind of used to that. But at a restaurant or at the mall where there's a chef or a cheesecake factory or a piece of key lime pie, my brain is all about the excuses. And it picks the ones that work the best and cues them up first. Excuses like, you're in maintenance. You're supposed to be able to have a treat now and then. You've had all your water today. Another glass of wine would be fine. Ken really wants some. He'll split it with you. You don't want to tell him no, do you? That's what goes on in this head, I'll tell you. So how do you deal with it? That's what I'm going to teach you. You're going to learn why it's important to periodically recalibrate your hunger and satisfied cues, a few tools to make recalibrating interesting and something you're okay with doing, and my very own four-step process for managing my mind around the times I need to recalibrate. And this is the most important part, managing your mind around the old shitty thoughts I mentioned. Like for me, it's like, but Ken wants some, it'll be okay. And then we'll talk about a few mindset hacks to help you with remembering why this is important and why it's okay that it's actually happening. Okay? First up, why it's important to periodically recalibrate. I touched on this a little bit earlier. Your weight loss is stalled or you started creeping back up the scale. It's your pretty easy tell, right? The scale isn't going down anymore and everything else is the same. Your body is now taking in more food than you need to lose weight. Think of it this way. I'm gonna make it a math problem. Let's say you start at 250 pounds. You lose 25, jump into Queen's Club. You're still eating the same amount to lose weight at 250 pounds as you're eating at 225. You now weigh 10% less, yet you're eating the same amount of food. If your body is carrying around 10% less weight, then it's reasonable to think that it doesn't need as much food and energy to move and to sustain systems as it once did. In fact, overfeeding your body can lead to lethargy, sleepiness, it having to work harder to process and store food it doesn't need, like that, and cue that after lunch lull, you know, want the nap, dinner need for the PJs, things like that, right? So ultimately, the goal is to feel really good, and a periodic assessment of how much you're eating gives you a leg up on maintaining that connection between your body's needs and what you're giving it in the way of food. Makes sense, right? But how do you make it interesting? How do you stay curious with your eating instead of going down the rabbit hole of deprivation? With your mind. You pull out old shitty and you work your way into new hotness. If you think you're sad because you didn't get as much to eat, question it. Here's what it might look like. You might be thinking, I miss being able to eat more, which leads you to feeling deprived. When you feel deprived, you sit in your dirty diaper thinking about what you can't or shouldn't have rather than what you're working toward. That's the hack. This is where you can use your whys, your vision boards, your compelling reasons, because when you think about those things, you're looking forward instead of looking back. So maybe you could try a thought like this one. My 150 pound future self doesn't need this much food. And the feeling here isn't, oh, yay, it's just aware. It's just open, right? And when you feel aware, you're thinking, you're paying attention, you're considering, you're continuing to assess, and you're focusing on your future. So the big difference between these two think, feel, do cycles is that the first one has you focused on the past, what you used to do, how much you used to eat, what you could get away with. The second one has you focused on future you, who you want to become, how you want to eat, and the relationship you're building with your food. For example, maybe future you knows she doesn't need popcorn to enjoy a movie. Or maybe she knows that wine really doesn't make the day better. It just numbs the brain for a minute. Your future you knows that movies are fun to watch and a crappy day can't be fixed, can be fixed with a mind shift or a plan. See the difference? And that takes me to my four-step process for managing my mind around recalibrations. I've never really talked about this before. It's kind of something I just do, that as I was writing this class, I was thinking, I think this would be helpful to a bunch of people if you look at it from this perspective. So you're the first ones to hear. So you'll have to tell me whether you like it, whether it makes sense, because it does to me. It's what I do to keep myself focused and on task with what my mind and my body need. It's almost like self-care for me. So put on your scientist lab coat and let's have a look. Step one is to watch yourself think. Step two is to put on that lab coat. Step three is to decide what you're going to do when you're thinking those thoughts that you're watching yourself think. And step four is to assess your decision. It's very much like watching yourself eat or follow plan or not follow plan and doing an assessment and discovery worksheet. We're going to watch ourselves think. Okay, we're going to sit back. We're going to watch those baby thoughts run through your mind, those words run through your mind, and we're going to capture them and we're going to think about them. Okay? Step one, watch yourself think. This is where you decide to become the observer of your mind. I've heard this called so many different things. You can call it the compassionate observer. You can call it the coach on your shoulder. You can call it the watcher. Whatever it is, it's you stepping back and taking a conscious decision to look at what you're thinking. It's so easy to ignore our thoughts and just let them run wild and on repeat, or chalk them up as being facts in the world. It takes intentionality to decide to look at what you're thinking and question it. Sometimes I picture, like I said, a coach on my shoulder, just observing what I'm thinking, taking notes, watching out for old shitty and all its babies. They're there. If it helps you stay out of judgment, pretend it's me or one of the other coaches who's just hanging out on your shoulder and taking notes. Decide this is something you want to do. Once you've decided to watch what you're thinking, then it's time to listen. You can do this with journaling, meditation, or just being super open to whatever thoughts your brain throws out at you. For example, last night, Ken and I had our favorite cauliflower crust pizza for dinner. I ate until satisfied, then my brain started up with all the suggestions. You know, Kathy, sometimes you just need more. It's a good thing there's none left, because tonight you could eat a whole pizza. I hope you're not hungry later. Are you sure you had enough? See, my brain has all kinds of little suggestions for me. All the things. It was almost amusing. I heard them because I've decided to watch my brain and I'm tuned in to listening. And I know that there are thoughts that my brain has just thrown into my mind. Step two, put on the lab coat. The faster you drop self-judgment and drama, the easier it is to get to work. And what I mean by that is you can't judge these thoughts that are in your mind. You know, if I judged every time my brain shot up at me that might not be enough, if I got angry at having that thought or annoyed that I'm in maintenance and I still have that thought, that's just judgment and drama. You got to skim all that off the top. I heard Corinne once say that drama and self-judgment are the mayo on a shit sandwich. It's so much faster and more productive to see yourself think and go to work on those thoughts if you haven't spread a thick layer of shitty ganache on top of what you're thinking. I thought that was funny, ganache, because I've been watching the Great British Baking Show, and that's what it makes me think of. Take off the judge's robe, put on the scientist lab coat. See what you're thinking with an open mind and a little compassion. Normalize it. Coach Judith often says, "I have the perfect human brain," meaning there's lots of lush, tasty thoughts in there, but there's some old shitty in there too. Step three, decide what you're going to do with what you're hearing, what you learned with the words in your head. Once you've opened yourself up to watching and you've decided to listen and not judge, then you have the opportunity to decide what you're going to do with those words. Take my thoughts from last night, for example. If I decided those thoughts about the cauliflower pressed pizza were valid, I would have gotten up and gotten something else to eat. I would have made another pizza, or at least just sat in my dirty diaper feeling deprived because I want more and I shouldn't have more. Instead, I listen to them, catalog them as habit thoughts, or even what I like to call negotiations, and noted them in my journal to see how often they come up. Having the thoughts isn't a major problem. Remember, we have perfect human brains. Deciding whether or not I give those thoughts emotional energy is where the decision happens. Step 4, assess your decision. Maybe you decided to eat. Maybe you didn't. Here's the opportunity to put back on the lab coat and assess. Do you need a discovery worksheet or a successful urge worksheet? Either one has you taking steps to evaluate, and I call that progress. Assessments in any form always need to be done with by the scientist, because every assessment is an opportunity to learn what you want to do next time. Either repeat the behavior or change it up. Are you going to get this perfect every time? No. Last time I checked, none of us was perfect. In fact, it's an amazing time to practice giving yourself feedback. So let's talk a minute about feedback. I used to hate it. Anytime I got feedback, I made it mean things like, I'll never get this. I'll never be good enough. I'll never lose my weight. Just basically started the beat down because I wasn't perfect on the first run and every run after that. The work I've done on feedback has enabled me to see it as an investment in me. And it's up to me to decide what it means. I choose to think of feedback as an opportunity to grow. And I challenge you to give yourself the feedback you need in a way that has you being the scientist and not the judge. One of the ways to catalog your useful feedback is to start a doable hunger assessment sheet. I have created one for you. You'll record the time, what you're feeling physically, what you're thinking, whether you're wearing your lab coat or your judge's robe, and any actions you took. Then you'll assess whether or not you think you are experiencing physical hunger or emotional hunger. Filling out this simple chart is a great way to paint a picture of when you're eating, how much, and why, so that you can see the areas you can work on. It lines it all up for you in a nice, neat chart, which I'll show you in just a second, so you can easily identify the times and situations that are tripping you up. Take this information, put your lab coat on, and come up with some strategies to try. And the chart lines up with the 4 steps I taught you. Listen to your thoughts, pay attention, write them down on your chart, put on your lab coat, decide what to do. You're going to put your actions that you took on your chart, and assess your decisions. Did it turn out to be physical hunger or emotional hunger? And what else did you notice? You can make comments about satiety or fullness. Tell yourself the truth without the judge's robe. After noting the date and time, you'll take those 4 easy steps. They're the key to making sure that what you're putting in your body is what it truly needs as you work down the scale. The sheet will give you an opportunity to take notes on trends, like thoughts that are on repeat, physical sensations that may or may not indicate hungry or satisfied, and actions you want to take automatically. Here's a copy. I will tell you, the wording is small on the slide, but that's okay. Over here, we have the date and time. In this column, you'll write what physical sensations you're having. In this column, you'll write the thoughts you were thinking. This one is, were you wearing the judge's robe or the lab coat. This one is what did you decide to do? And this is your assessment column. There are lines here, right? So you can do, I don't remember, there's 18 or 20 lines, I think. So you can start to see trends. You can go back with a highlighter and say, oh gosh, there's that thought. There it is again. There it is again. There's that decision. How many times did I have my judge's robe on? How many times did I wear my lab coat? You'll be able to print this form. I'll put it in the show notes of the call, okay? It's brand new, y'all, brand new. So it's like a cover sheet for all of your discovery worksheets and successful urge worksheets. It doesn't replace them. It adds to them, sort of summarizes them in a clear way so you can quickly see similarities. It's pretty slick, isn't it? Okay, let's wrap up a few of the key concepts I've gone over. Number one, recalibrating hunger and satisfied is part of the process. Your brain throwing you all kinds of shade about how much or how little you're eating is also part of the process. Learning to watch for old shitty and evaluate what you do when you hear it hollering is something every one of us learns to do, making it part of the process. Assessments and feedback are essential to any sort of growth. Applying them to yourself and your weight loss efforts without a beatdown is a skill that you can learn, and that is one of those skills that make reaching your goal weight and staying there easy. So guess what? Assessments and feedback are part of the process. All of this is such a normal part of the weight loss journey, this recalibrating. And as soon as you can wrap your brain around that, you are solid gold, because it's going to happen. You're going to have to recalibrate, I'm going to guess, every 20 to 30 pounds. And that's okay, because you know if your body needs less, there's less you have to carry around, less surface area to circulate all the things. Okay? All right. So I'm going to stop sharing. Here I am back. Do you want me to show you the worksheet really quick? See if I can share the worksheet and see if it looks any bigger, or do you think you got what you needed out of it? Yes, please. Okay. I'm going to give that a shot. Okay. Let's see if you can see it over here. All right. Can you see the worksheet? Is it easier to see? It might still be. The words might still be a little bit small. I put instructions at the top about answering the questions in the worksheet each time you have an urge to eat, before you're hungry or after you're satisfied. Look for trends and commonalities in the date, the time. Maybe everything on here turns out to be at 3:30 in the afternoon. Wouldn't that be interesting? What you're thinking? Physical sensations, your responses. And then once you find your trends, strategize how you can handle them when they come up again. Okay? All right. I'm going to stop sharing real quick. There we go. Does anybody have any questions first? No. Watch you hit through the chat here for a minute and see if there are any questions. Here's Q&As. Let's do those first. I have trouble hearing my thoughts. How do I hear them? All right. So this is a great question, because it takes practice to actually listen to yourself think. The first thing I would do, the easiest place to start, is in your journal. Ask yourself, what am I thinking? And just start writing. Ask yourself, when I wanted more to eat last night at dinner, what was I thinking? Just start writing. That's exactly what I would do, is I would start by writing. Or the other thing I sometimes do is I will ask Ken, my husband, I'll say, can I just word vomit for a minute? Of course he says yes. And I'll just start talking. And if you listen to yourself talk, sometimes you can pull out thoughts that are super dramatic, That's where I would start. Look for the ones that are dramatic, that give you a visceral emotional reaction. That's where I'd start with hearing your thinking. Where can we print the worksheet? I will put it in the show notes. I will also, if you want the keynote, I'll also put it in the show notes. It's not the most elaborate in the world, but it's it's what Kathy does for keynote. Can the sheet be loaded into the files on the Queen's Club page, Facebook page? Sure, absolutely. That's a great idea. Trying to recognize the thoughts and triggers before eating. Any insights? Seems like I'm already in the middle of an overeat, off-plan eat, before realizing or figuring out the thoughts or the feelings were to begin with. Okay, so when you find yourself in the middle, think about what you're thinking right then. Okay, seriously. So maybe you're in the middle of an overeat and you catch yourself and you go like, I'm eating. Or you're like, I just want this day to go away. Or good grief, the kids are crazy. You know, think about what you're thinking as soon as you catch yourself overeating. That's a good place to start, because eventually what happens is if you practice that, you will begin to catch yourself earlier and earlier in the overeat until you're so used to listening to what you're thinking that you can back it up to before the overeat. I still have trouble recognizing satisfied. I want you to listen to Corinne's call from yesterday. She talks about the dissatisfied end of the doable hunger method, and it's so good, and she coaches on it. That's why I decided not to go into specific cues today, because I knew that she had that call yesterday. And in the show notes for this Queen's Club call, I'll put a link to Corinne's call. Friend says, but I forget what I was thinking. That's because you don't write it down immediately. It's what I would do. If you want to really hone in on this, you've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional in your thinking, in your listening, in your journaling, and all those ways. Because creating that intentionality is going to give you the opportunity to actually see what to put on this assessment sheet. Okay. All right. One more question. I can hear my logic brain telling me that I don't need it. Oops, it just hopped. Hang on. When I'm putting something in my mouth, getting back to the vibe has been a challenge. Where do I start? Ask yourself why you're eating. Seriously, because your logical brain's going, you really don't need this. We're not hungry yet. But the back part of that brain is driving the show in that moment. And it's saying, oh, yes, we do. We're starving. We need a break. We need some relief. You know, whatever it is that it's saying, just ask yourself. Because your brain wants to close a loop. It wants to answer all the questions. So just get used to talking to yourself, having those conversations, listening to the responses. Sounds woo, but y'all, it works. Sometimes I feel like there's a conversation going on in my head. And all that is an awareness I have of what sentences my brain is throwing at me. Roz says, one of the best questions is, what am I hungry for? Totally agree. That is a great question. What am I really hungry for? I ask myself that sometimes when I'm standing in front of the pantry and I know it's not time to eat. I'll say, what am I really hungry for? Okay, let's coach for a minute and see what we got here, who we've got here. Close out the chat. Russ says, I gave it to you. Yeah. Lisa, you're first, then Liz. Wonderfully. Oh,
there we go.
Awesome.
Good. You can hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
We don't see enough of you.
Oh, well, thank you. I am doing so much work behind the scenes to make sure you all have everything you need.
Well, that's so awesome. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like I threw my hand up because I thought, well, it's Kathy, I need to be coached. I don't know though. After talking about all this, I'm like, yeah, okay, so just do all this stuff and then you don't have a problem.
But let's talk about what you just said. let's do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to do things? What comes above the think, feel, do cycle, above the do line? And then what comes above that?
I guess how I think about it.
Yeah. So that's really something that's super important here, is that you know, we can tell you what to do all day long. But if you've got a thought in your mind that says, I don't really believe in this, but they told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. What's going to happen?
I'm going to go through the motions. And that's sort of what I feel like I'm doing.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess I could I'll print out some more of the discovery worksheets, and I'll print out some more successful, and I'll just have them there, and that'll just make me do it. But that's, I guess that's what I've been missing. I've been like, well, even when I do them, I'm like, well, so now what?
Mm-hmm. So are you doing what? Why are you doing them?
Because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right. See, that's the difference. If you were doing them because you were looking for ways in which to level up your weight loss, or in which to figure out where hunger and satisfied are, or, you know, if you were doing them because you wanted to be better at stopping at satisfied, then you would actually be doing them with a purpose and with a conviction, rather than, well, Kathy said I should fill up this sheet.
Yeah.
Kathy could say a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
So why do you want to lose weight?
I don't know. I mean, I do. Like, I've lost like 80 pounds, or probably actually only 70 by now. But I always just wanted to. I wanted to be able to wear whatever I want. I wanted to be able to just feel awesome.
So when you think about future Lisa, what is she doing? What is she thinking? What is she like?
She does all kinds of things. She's really awesome. She like gets up early. She exercises. She journals. She feels great. She thinks lots of things intentionally.
Yeah. So why not start practicing thinking things intentionally now? Give me an example of what she thinks. Maybe she thinks, I'm going to do this doable hunger assessment sheet and see what trends I can find, because, you know, I'm stalled. Or is she thinking, you know, Kathy said I should do that sheet. I really don't understand it. I really don't see the point. I'll just print it out and put it right here in case I feel like doing it.
Yeah, I guess I was missing that intentionality about it. And I think that summary of it will help too, because like I do them and then I put them in a binder and then there they sit and I don't really go back and look at them. I just think, yeah, same time. Yeah. Here I am after dinner.
Yeah. That's why that seriously, when I was thinking about all this, I was thinking I would love, of course, I'm a list maker. I love to check boxes. I love to make lists, all those things. I would love to have a running snapshot of my urges to overeat and what I did with them, because that's essentially what this is. You're either, you're overeating if you're eating if you're not hungry, and you're overeating if you're eating past satisfied.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're stalled in your weight loss, wouldn't it be great to have a snapshot of the past, I don't know how many lines are on this thing, 15, 18 times you had an urge to overeat? Because this is all about the urges. It's not about, it's about what you did in response to the thoughts, right?
But I think sometimes I think sometimes I lose track that it's an urge. I'm just like, well, it's just something I'm doing. It's not really an urge, it's just I'm doing it.
But if you're overeating, it started with a suggestion to eat either off plan or before you're hungry or after, right?
For sure.
So there's a suggestion going on there somewhere that you have to back up your think, feel, do, and find.
Yes.
And sometimes it's as easy as, but I'm used to eating this much, or this tastes so good, or I just want some. It can be such a minor little, you know, thought that, you know, it's just slipped on in. It's one of those little sneaky ones, right?
Yes, they're so much harder to find.
Well, no, they're not harder to find. You just have to listen for them.
Yeah.
You have to be curious. You have to, And you have to not judge them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to not be angry with, I just want it, or yeah, it's cheesecake, I'm going to eat it, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to be aware that that's what's happening. And I was hoping that by putting it on this little summary sheet, you all would be able to start identifying what was going on in your brain that led you to basically your stall or your little bit of regain or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. But no, I definitely,
you have to do it with your future in mind.
Okay.
Right? With your goals in mind, with your, you know, why am I doing this? I'm not doing it just because somebody told me I was supposed to do it. I'm doing it because I want to get to my goal weight, or I want to feel really good, or I want to eat the foods that feel good in my body.
Okay.
Does that help?
I think it does. Yes. Yeah. I think it definitely does. I think, yeah, for sure. It will help thinking it through better.
Yeah. So what can you tell yourself when you think I should really do a discovery worksheet because I'm supposed to? What can you think instead? What can you answer that?
I'm going to do this because it will help me see what I need to address to get to the future, because I can picture the way she is. It just seems so, like, I keep telling myself I'll get there, but I'm like, I'm not sure how. Like,
so I talk about my future self some with some of the other people on the team and with Corinne, and I can see her. It's like I'm standing on one side of the cliff, like a canyon, and she's on the other side, and I see her over there so clearly. What she's doing, what she thinks, how she acts, how she dresses, all the things. She is super clear in my mind. I know exactly mm-hmm. who she is. Okay.
Yep.
And I started describing my journey to getting there as me having to rappel down the cliff, walk through the stream at the bottom, and then rock climb the way back up, which didn't sound terribly bad until you really think about it, about how hard that sounds. So I said, maybe I'm just building a rope bridge. Right? One little step at a time that I can toss over when it's long enough and walk on over to her.
Yeah, that's a very nice visual. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that hard. It's just one small step at a time. A little bit of braiding of the rope, slap on a piece of wood, a little bit of braiding of the rope, slap on a piece of wood. And all of a sudden you're there. It's long enough. All you got to do is toss it over.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep that focus on that future person over there, not on today or yesterday or what you've done wrong or how far you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I really like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can work with that.
Good deal.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
See ya.
All right, Liz. Bringing you up. Okay, I can hear you.
I think hi.
There you are. Perfect.
Okay. I'm geeking out here.
you are.
Oh, no, I'm really excited. So one of my goals is to coach with all the coaches.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome.
So I just decided that one at the end of camp. So the recalibration talk was exactly what I needed. I have been maintaining like a boss for the past year, 15 pounds above my goal, but maintenance has been really easy. And, I've been, focusing on the, who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like my life has gotten much richer during, COVID and, like taking time to sit outside in my yard and enjoy the birds, mm-hmm. something like I had never ever thought of as an activity I would enjoy. And I would sit outside with my journal and just like breathe and like future self and let all the to-do thoughts settle. Like all the anxiety chatter would just settle. So I'm now that I I did the self-love camp, and then I focused on like, okay, who do I was like, I don't want to focus on weight loss. I want to focus on who I want to be so I can be the person who then has accomplished the weight loss. And then I realized, well, that was a really sneaky lie because I took my foot off the gas.
Yeah, it's exactly what you did.
And then I did the last camp, and I was like, I am on fire, and I got my an accountability group up and running in a new way. And I was like, I have all these ideas. And then, you know, a couple of weeks have passed and I'm like, okay, I'm back into my normal groove of, it's like, I'm, you know, it's okay. Things are okay. But like, why, like my weight ticked down like a little bit and then like jumped up 2 pounds overnight. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not panicking about that kind of thing anymore because the road may be long and bumpy, but it is heading downhill.
Okay.
So,
I wanted to point out this thought that I think you caught yourself in. I want to focus on me. Okay. That allowed you for a short time to take your foot off the gas, like you said. It was a distracting thought away from weight loss. And honestly, that could be one of those little sneaky ones that takes your attention away from what your body needs when you could be doing both of them at the same time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I'm eating beyond satisfaction if I am maintaining my weight is going, you know, fluctuating up like that.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say you're at least eating to maintain.
Yeah. Clearly.
So, yeah. So if you have 15 more to lose, then you have to wrap your mind around why you're eating those few extra bites, because think about it, it could be just 2 or 3 bites a meal over a week's time. I love this math problem. So if you eat 3 extra bites at every meal, more than you need, and you eat 3 meals a day, that's 9 bites a day times 7 days is 63 extra bites, which is about 3 meals you've overeaten over the course of a week.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's quite a few. So if you think of it in those terms, when the shift could be just, you know, I think we think, oh my gosh, recalibrate. Oh my gosh, I'm eating too much. I think we think we're going to have to cut our meals in half. And it's just not true. It might just be a couple of bites that turns the table for us. Right?
Right.
So it's just fascinating to me when we think about, because I think a lot of that happens when we recalibrate. We think, like I said, you're going to have to cut your food in half, and you just don't sometimes. And your thought, I want to focus on me, could be exactly what your habit brain threw at you so that it would get to, you know, keep the cycle of eating the same, you know, not have to work real hard. You know, we'll just keep it in the habit cycle and not think about it so that, you know, we can set that one to rest and make things easy.
Yeah, I've gotten myself back to like normal for me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm looking for extraordinary for me, right? I'm looking for how do I get to be the version of me that is even better than the me that I am now.
Okay.
So
So how do you do that?
Part of that is part of that smaller genes, and part of that is just figuring out, you know, just little steps.
The extraordinary you pays super attention to everything she thinks and how much she eats and when she eats. That's it. That's all you need to do to be extraordinary. Right?
Right. Right.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Got anything else?
Kathy.
You're welcome. Let me check this Q&A real quick and see if there's any new questions. I'm new to Queen's Club. I can't seem to navigate to the Queen's Club page from the website. Is that right? I just need to bookmark it from email. So, Jen, this is a great question. In the not too distant future, I'm hoping very soon, everyone who is in the Queen's Club will be able to access Queen's Club from the menu. I have asked for this change from the web team, and it's in their queue to work on. In addition to that, you're going to have a brand new Queen's Club page. It's going to take you over to a page that will have the call times for all of your calls with Corinne, and it will have the these Queen's Club talks on weight loss times and topics for the next few months as well. As well as being able to find all the replays to all your calls. Okay, so that's coming very soon. I have submitted the request to make sure everything gets on that page and that you have super easy access to it. But for now, the link lives in the announcements in your Facebook group. And the page is not great, but it's going to be. I'm having the thought, this is so good, I want more. Also, I don't want others to see my leftovers and comment what their thoughts are on my food choices. Oh, this is so good. Why are you concerned about what other people are thinking about your food? Why is that a problem for you? Okay. We often coach on other people's opinions in a lot of ways, and this is just one of the ways that you need to watch why you are putting so much emphasis on what someone else may or may not be thinking. Here's what happens with when we think about other people's opinions. We have a thought in our mind that they might think something. So we change what we do and how we act based on what we think they might be thinking. How much sense does that make? None, right? No sense at all. First of all, we can't see in someone else's brain. And second of all, we take ourselves totally out of the equation when we're thinking we need to change ourselves because of what we think somebody else might be thinking. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, for heaven's sake. So focus back on what you want and what's good for you. And let everyone else have their thoughts. That's the key to the whole ball game right there. If you can decide what you need, then everybody else gets to decide what they're going to think about it. And it's up to them. You're not going to change what they think anyway. So when it comes to leftovers, one thing you can do is you can serve yourself up less food so there are fewer leftovers. I mean, that's what Corinne talks about that on yesterday's call as well. But the other thing you can do is not worry so much about what other people think. You can take them out of the equation because you really don't know what they're thinking anyway. Even if they say something, it may or may not be true. So just think about that, okay? The only thing you know for sure is what's going on in your head. Joan says, I have a new behavior. I'm in bed. I've had a great day. I'm curling up, ready to sleep, and I pop up and go to the kitchen and eat a wee snack, then head back to bed for the night. Such an odd behavior that I've never, ever done. What's up with this? So what you have is the do of your think, feel, do cycle. The do is get up out of bed, go to the kitchen, have a wee snack. What are you feeling that's creating this action for you?
and back it up and ask yourself why you're feeling that. Okay, so it may be unsettled. Why are you feeling unsettled? Maybe you're feeling nervous. Why are you feeling nervous? Okay, you have to back up the truck, so to speak, and question, why am I getting up out of bed? Why do I want a snack right now? Is this real hunger? This would be a great thing for you to track on this little worksheet that I did for you. Because if you ask yourself, what are the physical sensations you're having? And you write those down. Then you ask yourself, what am I thinking right now? You write that down. Then you ask yourself, am I wearing the lab coat or the judge's robe? Because you really need to be wearing the lab coat, right? Then you say, what did I decide to do? Either got up or waited it out. And then you assess. So when I look back, was it really physical hunger or was it emotional hunger? And did I make the decision I wanted to make with regard to that? That's what I would do. Okay. That is the last question. There's one more hand raised. Laura, we'll bring you up. Let's see if we can do you real quick. And then we will get out of here because I know there's another call in just a few minutes. Oops, just lost you. Hang on.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I have missed you. I just want to say, I have missed your face and your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. I've missed you too.
Okay, so I am loving all of the content that everyone, that, you know, the whole team is bringing out, the Saturday coaching, the courses, this, everything is just wonderful. And I noticed, so this past week I did a monk meal at lunch. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a monk meal. Lunch normally isn't a time that I kind of thought it would be an easy, it isn't a typical time that I, overeat. I don't think I overeat. I usually portion out at what I thought was pretty well. Mm-hmm. And during, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this monk meal. It's going to be quiet. I'm going to listen to my thoughts, but I'm probably going to eat everything that I have here because this is, you know, it's a salad. It's good. I ate about 2/3 of the salad and I was shocked. I was like, okay, here we go.
So you had everything. one of those, but I used to be able to eat this much moments, didn't you?
And I really thought that this was, I was like, ooh, maybe. So then I thought, well, maybe like even all this week when I said that that I stopped satisfied, maybe I wasn't satisfied. Maybe I did. Cause had I had my phone out and had I been distracted, I would have eaten it. And I would have said, oh no, I'm satisfied and kind of checked my box that way. So, I love everything that this call is talking about in that. And so really, I just wanted to talk about that. I don't know if I really have any questions. I feel like I'm in a really good mind space. I wasn't, I wasn't beating myself up for it. It was like, wow, this is really interesting. Thank goodness that, that I've learned this, you know, that I realized this because, I did gain this week and I thought it was because of overeats that I had at other times, but I thought it might not have been, maybe I'm putting too much on that. And it was more from the rest of the week as well.
Yeah. So there's a comment in the chat. What's a monk meal? It is a totally silent meal. Nothing's playing in the background. You're sitting by yourself. Your phone is put away. There is nothing but you and the food there and your thoughts. You want to hear yourself think? Do a monk meal.
Yeah. And I had all the thoughts. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what I did with. I did have all the thoughts and it wasn't necessarily bad. I was really proud of them and it was really good. But the thoughts were, this is stupid. I shouldn't have to do this. I'm like, well, you're doing it. It's okay. You know, and just kind of kept on and I sure want to check out like, oh, I should do this. Like, oh, I should pull up my phone and do this really quick. No, it's too fun. I mean, it was a lot of distractions on that.
Yeah. What's super interesting about this conversation is that I, on purpose, didn't give you all a lot of tactics on what to do to find satisfied. I didn't say, do the Kathy method, do a monk meal, serve yourself up less. I didn't go to the due line on purpose because I want you all to start thinking about what you're thinking about when it comes to how much you're eating and when you're eating, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right? If you're or not thinking, right? If you're not having milk meals, if you're eating in front of the TV or eating at your desk, you look down and your food's gone and there's no, well, okay, it's gone, next. And you just move on to the next thing. There's no time for assessment. There's no time for evaluation. There's no time to think about your hunger and satisfied signals. That's what you have to do. It's that work that you have to do in order to break that plateau or recalibrate or move to that next 25-pound goal, right? And it sounds like that's what you did. You decided, I'm going to do this milk meal so I can think about what I'm thinking about. And you heard it.
I'm really trying to think about what I'm thinking about, because what I got the most out of January camp was how many people were, you're doing the model backwards. And I do this so much. I focus on the action without. Mm-hmm. And there was something that she talked about where the actions can be the same, but the thought that's driving it with the feelings can be the difference between making something very easy or hard or, you know, doable. Mm-hmm. And so everything for me is going back to the.
That's exactly what Lisa was talking about. You know, the first call, she's like, I do my discovery worksheets because I'm supposed to. Well, so her due line has discovery worksheets in it. But the thought that it's coming from is, this is what I'm supposed to do, rather than I can learn something from this.
Right.
So that's the perspective shift that you absolutely have to have in order to continue that weight loss journey, especially as you start realizing you don't need as much food.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I'm definitely, so it is going back up to just thinking about the thoughts and coming up with those thoughts that are coming on. So really, I guess that's about it. It's not really coaching, I guess, per se, but to say.
It was very good to help me reinforce what I tried to teach today. So thank you.
And that really is what I wanted to say, was that I can't wait to go back over it, get the sheet, listen to everything again with more taking notes and to go with it, because it just goes right along with everything else. It's really good.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
You too.
Bye. All right, everybody. We're going to keep this call about an hour. And I will go ahead, I'll write this call up. It'll probably go up sometime Monday or Tuesday, but I'll go ahead and put this assessment sheet in the group so that you all have it and you can take a look at it, okay? All right. Thanks for being here. This was so much fun. I love teaching and I love getting to see you all and being on Zoom and hanging out. So have a great rest of your Sunday, and I will see you soon. Okay. Bye now.